Welcome, Harvest Baptist. We are so glad to have you here tonight with us for our special service, the Three Candles of Christmas. Let's start it off tonight. Let's all stand up, and we're going to sing Angels from the Realms of Glory. You don't need to hear them. We all know these. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ, a newborn King.
First candle of Christmas is love.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love. Son of Mary. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree. From sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful his love for me. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful his love for me.
Well, in the Gospel of John, the Lord makes this statement, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend." But I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen. God laid down his life for his enemies. He laid down his life for us. The Bible says when we were at enmity, an enemy of God, Christ died for us. Let me read it to you from Romans chapter 5, if I can get this light adjusted here. Okay. "For when we were yet sinners without Christ, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." If you were to reduce the Bible down to just four words, it is all about this. Christ died for us. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And ladies and gentlemen, it all started, of course, in Luke chapter 2, where we have the Christmas story. Let me read it to you. Your Christmas season would not be complete without this. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And ladies and gentlemen, that, humanly speaking, is where it all started for our redemption.
The second candle of Christmas is joy.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to
Let me read you verse 10 once again from Luke chapter 2. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That which brings you joy helps to define what kind of a person you are. So let me just ask you, what is it that really brings you joy? Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts from the Word this evening. First of all, the great joy of forgiveness. What could mean more to you than the fact that you have been forgiven by God? I've told you many times, to forgive means to bear the burden. When Jesus went to the cross, He bore our burden. He forgave us. And as God has forgiven us, we need to forgive one another. Let me read this story to you from Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 41. And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He bore the burden of the loss of the money. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And the Lord said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is given, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. What could mean more to us than the fact that our sins are forgiven? Take away everything except forgiveness, and I am a wealthy man. Let me give you another thought about great joy to our hearts. Eternal security. The great joy of knowing that once you are saved, you are eternally secure and you are going to heaven. Let me read to you from John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Here's what the Lord said, and you just got to love the simplicity that with which the Lord speaks. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I am saved and on my way to heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, that is more sure to me than death. This eternal life is more qualitative than quantitative. It is something much more than just mere existence. It is the very life of God. I will have the mind of Christ. I will be an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And how wonderful is that? Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
The third candle of Christmas is peace. If I can. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day is a Christmas carol based on the 1863 poem Christmas Bells by a poet, American poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He wrote this poem in a time of deep mourning and depression. Deep mourning over the loss of his beloved second wife of 18 years, and deep depression over the injury caused to his son Charlie during the Civil War. The song tells of the narrator hearing Christmas bells during the American Civil War, but despairing that hate is strong, and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. After much anguish and despondency, the carol concludes with the bells ringing out with a resolution. And that resolution was only possible because of the work that God had done in Mr. Longfellow's heart. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep, and that there will ultimately be peace on earth, goodwill to men.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Well, in John chapter 14, the Lord says this in verse 27. He's talking to his disciples, and it's just such a personal, intimate time with them. And he makes this statement, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God's peace. First of all, we have peace with God that comes from the cross. That's peace above us. And then we have the peace of God. That's peace within us. And then we have peace from God. That's peace around us. The Bible talks about a perfect peace that we have, a peace that passes all understanding. We have peace as a river. But ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Psalms, David wrote this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they which love thy law. Let me tell you what the law is. The law is this book. And we have great peace when we love this book, and it means everything in the world to us. We get up in the morning and we go to the Word of God, and it begins our day in a wonderful, wonderful way. And then every time we come to this place, this holy and sacred place that we call the house of God, we are going to get the law of God, and it gives us a deep and an abiding peace as a river. Let's pray. Father, again, We love you, and we love you because you first loved us and you sought us, and the Holy Spirit convicted us and convinced us of our sin, and we were saved because of that. We went to the foot of the cross and you saved our soul. And because of that, we have a wonderful and an abiding peace. Dear Father, I just ask that in this Christmas season, as we think about all the wonderful thoughts that surround our hearts, that we will always go back to the cross. We'll always go back to the Word of God. We'll always think about your great love and the joy and the peace that is ours because of your Son. Father, help us to understand that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, temperance, faith. And when we think about that, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. Help us to allow that to happen. Father, bless these dear people. Bless this church. Thank you for all that you are doing. Thank you for this time together tonight. And we so look forward to time that is spent around your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.
Folks, stand with me and we'll close out the evening singing three verses of the most beautiful song in Christmas, Silent Night.
Silent night, oh.
Song.